Everyone is searching for answers. Everyone is searching for answers. Who am I? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? What is going to happen to me? Do I have a special destiny? These and many more questions haunt our thoughts, and many of the answers can be found in the secret behind the day of your birth. Your birthday identifies you as one of the 52 cards in the deck, which in turn reveals many things about you and your life. Stay tuned today as we explore your destiny with me, Robert Lee Kemp. This might be your date with destiny.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to my show. My name is Robert Lee Kemp, and you're listening to the Mr. Destiny Radio Show. Thanks for joining us tonight. Hope you enjoy the show tonight. Here we are on the eve of a big election. Ooh. And everybody's taken a side in this thing. Most people have. I guess because the economy's not doing so well, everybody's a little more picky about who they want to have as our president. We have Barack Obama, a Leo, Nine of Diamonds, and we have John McCain, a Virgo, Ten of Hearts. And it's interesting, I looked at their cards for tomorrow, the daily cards. Now, daily cards sometimes can be really significant. It's interesting. It's interesting. Now, I would not use this as a prediction. I wouldn't base a prediction based on a daily card because they're such small influences. And yet, I have seen times when significant life events occur, like people will get married and they'll have a marriage card on their daily card. So it's interesting. I haven't quite figured out how it all fits together, but sometimes they seem to be significant. If I was basing my prediction, though, on the daily cards, I would say that Obama's going to lose the election tomorrow. He's in his Saturn day of the week, and he has a Nine of Clubs. And he's displacing a Nine of Spades. Whereas McCain tomorrow will be in his Jupiter day, and he has Two of Spades and Four of Spades, with Ten of Clubs underlying the Two of Spades, and displacing the Eight of Hearts. So if I were just basing it on those things, I would say McCain's going to win. It'll be interesting to see how this turns out. I mean, it's going to be an exciting day tomorrow for sure as we watch the tallies roll in at the end of the day and start to see who is going to be our next president. So it's going to be a monumental time for us. Personally, I couldn't have surrendered any attachment to either way. I know who I'm voting for. I am going to vote, and somebody I want to vote for. Hope they make it, but I know that the ultimate decision is beyond my control. So I'm not going to get too worried about it. So for those of you new to the show, every Monday night we have a show. It's 2 hours long. Sometimes it goes a little longer. Sometimes it goes a little shorter. I used to give a talk in the beginning, which I'm going to do here in a few minutes. And after that discussion, it's usually a topic I have for each week. Tonight's topic is surrender. And then at 7:30 Pacific, a half hour from now, we open up the phone lines and you can call in and ask any question you want. And just give me your birthday. And if it involves somebody else, give me their birthday too. And we'll take a look, we'll take a peek together into the Book of Destiny to see what it says about you or about your life situation, whatever it might be. I was in Portland, Oregon today. I flew down there early this morning, and I taped a short TV interview for a station called Better TV. I think it's bettertv.com, actually, is the station name, is the show name. And it's going to air on most of the Better TV stations this Thursday. But it's, the Better TV is only broadcast in 38 different cities around the country, so it's not like a lot. But, like, for example, it's going to be in Las Vegas, in Albuquerque, in Phoenix, in San Diego. On San Diego, it's on KSWB Fox. Grand Rapids, Michigan, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Norfolk, Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, Pennsylvania. Anyway, there's a whole list of towns where it will be broadcast, and it'll also be available on YouTube. So I'll be posting a link to it once it's been aired. So any of you who are fans would like to go see. It was a really nice interview. It was fun. The host was, she's a ten of hearts, and we had a lot of fun talking about her and her boyfriend, who's a king of diamonds. And then we also talked about some celebrity couples. So it'll be a fun little interview to watch. Not long. I think it's like 5 minutes total. Not a big thing. Okay, now that's the announcement for tonight. LoveCardsDating.com is still up. If you haven't joined yet, it's still free. I would definitely try it. If you're single and you want to see what kind of a match you can get using the card system, that's the place to go to check it out. LoveCardsDating.com. Today is November 3rd, and today we are in Scorpio territory. We started with Scorpio last week, actually. Last Monday was a Scorpio, one of the first Scorpio birthdays. Tonight's birthday happens to be a four of diamonds. It's also a six of clubs and a king of spades, and there's a lot of people born on this birthday. Because of the six of clubs and the king of spades, there's a lot more success potential in this birthday. But still, you can't escape the four diamonds. And the four diamonds ends up always being sort of a difficult card to be. It's one that has a lot of struggle and a certain amount of unhappiness associated with it. We have people like Roseanne Barr, who I appeared on her show once. She's a Scorpio four diamonds. Charles Bronson, not a real happy kind of guy. Michael Dukakis, Kate Capshaw, Larry Holmes, comedian Dennis Miller, interestingly enough. Musician Adam Ant and Aunt Lulu. And actor Mike Evans. There's a few other people here, too. Happy birthday to all of you. Four of diamonds, because they have a Queen of Hearts and Saturn, they want life to be easier than it is, and they seem to have to work too much for everything. And a lot of them are kind of lazy, actually. They don't want to work for things. And those are the ones that are the most unhappy, the four of diamonds that do not want to work, because all of them have to work. And if they work, they do well. Like Roseanne rose to fame because she was a hard-working comedian. And then when she got all this money, she got lazy, and then her whole thing went down the tubes. Down the tubes. That's today's birthday. So speaking of the presidential elections, that kind of can segue us right into a discussion about surrender. Because, you know, you'll vote tomorrow, perhaps, like I will. And yet, whoever gets elected, it may not be the person we want to have elected. And you may actually be very attached to that. You may be somewhat attached to who gets elected. I mean, I certainly have a preference about it. But I know that whoever gets elected, it's God's will. it's God's will, so I'm not going to fight it. I'm going to, I'm going to surrender to that. I was thinking about surrender today. You know, every time we bow our head to somebody or something. That's a body language thing for I surrender to you. That means I give up my mind, my head. I lower my head to embrace you. And it's almost like saying to somebody, your wish is my command, or your will is my command, when you lower your head like that. And in religion, you know, when we pray, oftentimes we bow down. In India, they have a bowing that's called a danda pranam. They have pranam, which is to bend forward and put your hands together and, you know, acknowledge. But they have a danda pranam where your entire body stretched out on the floor, face down, with your hands over your head, straight up, you know, straight out. And oftentimes, if there's a spiritual teacher, they will want to bow down and put their forehead on the feet of the spiritual teacher. All of this is symbolic of surrender of the mind. I surrender my thoughts and my thinking, my mind, to the higher will. Okay? So that's what the symbolical thing about bowing is. I mean, even, you know, men who are gentlemen, who are real gentlemen and a little dramatic, of course, and they meet a nice-looking lady, and they might, like in the old days, bend down and extend their hand and say, my pleasure. In a way, this is a way of saying, I surrender to you. I'm at your disposal. Tell me what you want. So in life, I think that we don't really understand the power of this surrender thing, because it's really about, in a day-to-day world that we live in, we're faced constantly with situations all day long. Today I was driving, because I came back from the airport. I had driven to the airport in Oakland, and you know, around here where I live, there's a lot of traffic. So generally speaking, I won't even drive around town during rush hour. Rush hour here starts about 3 o'clock and goes till about 6 or 6:30, right? Well, my plane arrived at the airport in Oakland at 4 o'clock, and I was on the road by 4:30, right in the middle of rush hour, and we were having a big rainstorm. So as I was sitting there on the interstate, I was doing 5 miles an hour for over a half an hour. And it was interesting to watch myself and to watch other people. I was watching other people too. Now, I know how I would be in the past. I used to be, that would be the most infuriating thing for me. I would find any way to not be in that situation, to be stuck. I'm feeling stuck and trapped and having to go so slow. And I realized, at the rate I was going, it would take me 4 hours to get home if the traffic didn't, and I'd be late for my radio show. So my mind was doing all this stuff. But I was actually practicing just being present and surrendering to what is, basically allowing what is to be. I'd already made up my mind to drive. I had a car. I had to come home, and I had other choices. I could have pulled off at an exit, and I could have stopped and ate something and waited for the traffic to lighten up, which it may or may not do, but I might have done that. And I even pulled out my GPS on my car and started looking at alternate routes to see if any of them looked any better. And just about the time I was getting ready to take an alternate route, the traffic began to flow. And I tell you, you'll never experience how happy I was to be going 25 miles an hour on the interstate after doing 5 miles an hour for over a half an hour. But surrendering like that and being present, all of a sudden everything changes when we let go. And we're always confronted with things on a daily basis. That's one example. But when something doesn't go right, when something doesn't go the way we want it to go, we experience a lot of resistance. We're resisting. We're upset. You know, especially if we're really attached to it. And, of course, we're most attached to those things which are connected to what we are, our own identity. Like, you know, we talked about this in other shows, but we're going to most react to things that seem to threaten our sense of ourself, which is usually based on some false notion about ourself or some belief or some, like our whole sense of self is based on being better than other people and having some image, and that could be stuff. Like, you know, if my car is important to me, like if it really means a lot to me, like it's a symbol of who I am, and if somebody runs into it or gets stolen or something, then my, it's not my car they got that upsets me, that it getting banged up or lost. It's my sense of self, because now my sense of who I am is no longer protected, is no longer in good shape. That car was, I had put myself into that car. So this is what happens when we're threatened. When something's not going right, and if it's really bothering us, you always have to know that if it's really bothering you, that means yourself, your sense of self is caught up in that thing. You're identified with that to the extent that you feel like your life's at stake. It becomes way more important. And this could be an idea. I mean, people kill each other over ideas. They will actually kill each other over arguments about who's right, about religion, politics, belief systems. It's not the thoughts that's the problem. It is their attachment to them, thinking that they are those beliefs and ideas. Now, each of us has different things that trigger us. So here we are, we get triggered by a situation, something comes up, and this always happens. It always happens to everybody because you can't be attached to something like that. You can't be attached to an idea, a thought, or a thing, or even a person, because these things all change. They change constantly. If I'm attached to any of those things, sooner or later I'm going to be threatened. And some of these things change very quickly. And ideas and stuff are the most, you know, those are the most unstable ones. You know, you can have a point of view. There's so many different points of view about everything. If you're attached to a point of view, you're going to be fighting half the world. Half the world is going to think of it differently. If you're attached to Obama winning and he loses tomorrow, you're going to be upset. Not because Obama lost, but because your sense of self, if you were really attached to it, it means you were, your identity was tied up in that event happening a certain way. So this is where it really gets us. Anytime that we feel upset like that, it's like a perfect time to practice surrender, to practice being surrendered, to practice letting go, to allow things to be the way they are, not the way we want them to be. And if I'm really upset sometimes, the thing that I have to allow first is my own feelings of being upset. You can't just say, it doesn't matter. If you're already upset about something, the place to start is in your own emotions, your own feelings, to stop there and let that be okay. Surrender to that. Don't fight it. You know, let that be okay. You can't just go to the, you can't just make yourself drop those feelings if you haven't acknowledged them. Some people, a lot of techniques will tell you, you know, just don't feel those things. You don't have to feel them. They'll give you some kind of way to, like, just cut them off. It doesn't work usually because your mind does govern emotions, but if you're already upset and you try just to ignore those feelings, it's not going to work. But learning how to allow, learning how to accept what is, whatever it is. It's funny, I listen to Eckhart Tolle a lot, and he uses the word allow a lot. And I was thinking about it too, because, you know, this whole thing about being in the now, what we do as human beings is we make that into a goal. We say, I'm working on being in the now. like it's a job or something. And so it becomes like this goal out there in the future, this being in the now thing. And Eckhart says you can't, it will never work. You can't make that into a goal. You can make it into a goal, but you'll never get to the goal by making it into a goal. He says the only way you can have, the only way this, that enlightenment like this is going to happen is because you allow it. So allowing becomes the thing that we have to do. Very interesting concept. Very interesting way to look at it. To me, it caused a big relief. Like, I can stop trying. I gotta stop trying to be something. Stop trying to be enlightened and trying to be nice. Like he says this on one of his tapes, he says, you know, you can't try to be loving. It doesn't work. Love comes from being present. It comes from allowing. So, think about it for a minute. All we have to do is surrender and allow. And in the process of doing that, everything starts to feel better. Everything starts to work better. Everything starts to do better in our life by surrendering, by allowing things as they are. Very, very significant. Surrender. Lowering our head to say, I surrender what my thoughts are about it. Because, you know, if I'm unhappy about something, it's always because my mind expected it to be something else. It's not the situation, usually. It's not what happened. It's my mental thoughts about what happened. It's the story. It's how that event interacted with a story of my life. You know, like this, my life, such a big deal. It's always my this, my job, my car, my stuff, my relationship, my this. It's like we talk like everything revolves around us, like this me that we have portrayed in our mind. And of course, that me is always being threatened. So by surrendering, it's letting go of our attachment to that. Surrendering is letting go of our identity and saying, I'm open to something different. I'm open to not knowing. I'm open to being taught. I'm open to seeing something different. I'm relinquishing my thoughts about this. I'm surrendering my mind about this in order to allow something to show up that's different, that's better. That's the whole thing. We let go, we surrender, we allow, and better things will show up. Better things will appear. After we surrender, they always do. You'll hear about people who struggled, and then they finally let go. My sister is a jack of hearts. She had 3 failed marriages. She finally realized, she just had a realization one day, I cannot pick my mates. I just picked the worst mate. So she just stopped. She just gave up. And within a month of her giving up, her husband appeared, the best relationship she ever had in her whole life. So she surrendered. She let go. Now, that just didn't happen automatically. She just, that has to come to us. But you knowing this, you know, we can consciously stop fighting life. We can stop fighting. We can start to allow things to be the way they are. And in the process, have a lot more happiness in our life and a lot less struggle and unhappiness and worry about the future. Sometimes, as I said, it starts with allowing ourselves to feel the way we feel. Like, you may be really upset about a situation that's happened, and you can't just go right to accepting the situation. You have to first accept your feelings about it and then go on to accepting the situation. So just be allowing whatever is right now. Even if that means you're upset right now, let that be okay. See where it takes you. All this fighting with the world, it makes us look tired. It makes us look old. you can see, you know. I taught a class this weekend at my house. It was really wonderful. Nice, really wonderful group. And I could see in the faces of people, like, which one of them had a relatively easier life and which of them had a struggle life. You could see it on the face, the lines on their faces. You know, it takes away the beauty. It takes away the beauty of us to see those worry lines. And that's all us fighting with what is. That all appears, that all happens because of our struggle. It becomes a mask that we wear. Our face shows the struggle that we bear in our life. Okay, well, that's my talk about surrender tonight. I hope that's been interesting and entertaining for you. We're going to now take a break, and we're going to play a song from my CD, Bhakti Rock, which we always do on my shows. And when we come back, we already have two people waiting on the line, but there is one line open. I believe it's line 3. We're going to play on this break. We're going to play the song Krishna Hare Krishna. Krishna Hare Krishna, it's an ancient chant. It's been recorded by different people at different times. This is sort of my version of it. I hope you enjoy it. We'll be back after this break. Be right back. Welcome back, everybody. That was Krishna, Hare Krishna. I hope you enjoyed that. I kind of like that version of it. We used to play that chant at the ashram where I used to live, and it was one of our most powerful chants. I mean, it was a favorite of ours for a couple years at least. We had learned it from some Hare Krishna people, actually. And we adopted it for ourselves. And so I did my version was hopefully to be something close to how we used to play it at our group. Okay, we have Stephen, two people from the East Coast waiting patiently. We have Stephen from the Bronx. We'll talk to Stephen first. He's born April 23rd, 1981. Are you there, Stephen?
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Hey, thanks for being so patient.
Listen to you. Very motivational, so I didn't really have a problem with waiting online.
Oh, so
Hello?
I can barely hear you, Stephen. You're kind of breaking up a little bit. What'd you say?
I said I didn't have an issue waiting online. You're a great speaker, so I was able to listen in on what you were saying.
Thank you. So you enjoyed my talk tonight?
Yes.
Well, thanks for being a listener. Appreciate hearing from you. Do you know what your card is, Stephen?
I have no idea. This is actually my first time ever getting myself involved in this kind of, talk or whatever. I've done it before, so I'm kind of new to it.
Oh, that's cool. That's fine. Well, I can tell you that your birth card is a Jack of Clubs. Okay?
Okay.
And that card means you have a very, very creative and brilliant mind. You understand?
Okay.
You're very clever. You're an idea person, for sure. Very industrious. And the girls love you.
I agree with that part.
Yeah. And I'm sure that they do, Stephen.
Okay.
Yes, they say Jack of Clubs make really great lovers. So I think your girlfriends will probably have to tell us. Okay, right, man. Well, listen, if you want to call back another time and if you have a question about a relationship or anything at all, you can give me you can call on the show and we'll look it up for you, okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling, man. Have a nice night.
All right. You too. Bye.
And now, also from the East Coast, we have Stacy, who's from my old hometown, Tampa. And she's born May 25th, 1969. Are you there, Stacy?
I sure am. Hello.
Thanks for being so patient.
Thank you.
Yeah, so what's on your mind this evening?
I'm facing possibly losing my house or selling my house quickly right now because of financial difficulties. And
yeah.
I was offered a job quite unexpectedly tonight. And that's what I'm wondering about.
Wow. So you just were offered a job, and you're wondering if you're wondering if she should go for it or not?
Mm-hmm.
Does it involve moving?
Yeah, it's actually a job and a place to live all in one. It would be as a nanny for a friend of mine who is an attorney. And I was discussing my financial difficulties, and he offered this position.
Oh. Well, I mean, the influences are really good. You're in your best period of the year right now,
mm-hmm.
The Jupiter period. And do you know your boss's birthday?
I do. I don't know the year, but it's October 7th.
October 7th. Okay. So he is a two of diamonds. And also an eight of clubs, okay? Those are his two cards. And you happen to have his cards right now in Jupiter, which means he's a benefit to you. So I would definitely go for it. Do you have any... Why wouldn't you just go for it? I'm just curious.
Oh, because I have three children, and he's got four children, and he's offering me two rooms and a bathroom, and I'm going to be selling a four-bedroom, two-bathroom house. So it would be a big... It would be a big adjustment for me and my children, as well as I'm sure his.
Uh-huh. Well,
but we're both sole custodial parents, and his offer would definitely benefit my situation for a while.
It doesn't have to be forever, that's for sure. And I think that given the fact that this occurred in your best period of the year, I think it's kind of a sign that you should go in that direction.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I get from it. Is it, you
okay.
know, it's like an answer to a prayer, really.
Yeah, it very well could be, because I've been praying for some kind of direction.
Yeah, and I think this might be it. I mean, you have to remember, when things happen in the most beneficial period of the year, you can always say yes. It's like a green light.
Right.
Go for it. Go this way and it'll be good. And change is good for you this year. Moving is good for you this year.
Okay.
Okay. And you'll
okay.
change again. You don't think you'll change again?
I'm sure I will.
I mean, you're a five of diamonds, one of your cards, and you change anyway on your own, you know.
Right.
So, but I think this is, I think this is good. So that's a good question. Thanks for calling in and asking it.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, Stacey, good luck. And, call back later and let us know how it went.
I will. Thank you.
All right. That'll
okay,
be great.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was a couple of quick calls. We're going to have another short break here, and if we have some calls, when I come back, we will continue. So if you want this show to keep going, you got to get on the phone and call up. On this break, we're going to play the song Sri Ram, and when we come back, we'll be taking your calls. Be right back.
Ram. Hanuman. Hey, Hanuman. Lakshmana Ram. Hey, Raja Ram.
That was Sri Ram from my CD Bhakti Rock. I hope you enjoyed it. We just had a class this weekend, and it was really great. And actually, a few people bought my CDs, which was nice. And one of the ladies who's at the class is on this show tonight, as I guess. Her name is Jackie, and she's born November 12, 1970. Are you there, Jackie?
Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
How are you? It's been a long time.
Yeah, 3 days.
I am having a heck of a time finding a new place to live in Los Angeles. I don't know if it's because I have 3 dogs or what's going on. I was hoping to get some insight.
Well, how long have you been looking?
Like a couple months since August, maybe 3.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
There is.
I know there's a move in the cards for me. It's been...
Well, yeah, I mean, there's potential for that. It's not, it's there. It looks like it, but it's meant to happen, you know.
Okay.
But for whatever reason, it's not happening right now, apparently, you know.
Right.
So you're in Neptune now, too, which things are a little harder to get handled. But you're almost, your birthday's coming up in a few days here.
Right.
We better look at next year.
Okay, let's look at next year.
But why do you want
to focus on the move? What?
Why are you moving?
Because I'm going to get divorced.
Oh.
So it's like there's really no plan B. I have to stick with plan A.
Okay. Just curious, like, what's the,
yeah.
the context of this question?
Yeah, we're divorcing, and so I'm moving from Napa back.
So do you absolutely have to move? Is that the deal?
Yeah. Yeah, because I have work waiting for me.
Oh, you have a job there already?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you mean you have a job but you just can't find a place to live?
Right. I have a job in TV and I can't find a place to live.
That is interesting.
Yeah, the harder one of the two I nailed.
Somehow, I could never imagine that being a problem.
Well, I have 3 dogs.
Uh-huh.
So.
Well, I mean, I've seen lots of places. That, have you tried Craigslist?
Yeah. Yeah, I still
Because they
look.
Tell you right on the ad whether the dogs or pets are okay or not. You know?
Right. Yeah, I guess I'll just keep going.
Yeah, I mean, I you're moving. I mean, you're moving.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, it's just a matter of how soon, you know.
Okay.
I didn't even know you were married.
Yeah. Yes. Well, not anymore. Not for too much longer.
Yeah, somehow that never caught my attention.
How does my work situation look for this upcoming year?
Well, you have the 10 of clubs long range.
Okay.
You can't complain about that.
All right, it doesn't get any better.
Yeah, and you've got an 8 of spades in Jupiter and a 4 of spades in Jupiter, and you've got 10 of spades and 8 of diamonds in Mars. I mean, I think you're going to have to get past your Venus period before things start really picking up. But there's also your Queen of Hearts in Venus. You're going to meet somebody.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Great.
You're making a good move. You're doing a good thing, yeah.
Okay. It's just such a strange question, but since I have you, is there a death around me this year of some sort?
What, you mean the Ace of Spades and Saturn?
Yeah, the Five of Hearts. Could that mean, like, the death of a person?
Could mean, yes. It could be. You know, everybody does die eventually, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, some people that you know now will be dead before you die.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it always happens that way. You're a Scorpio. You understand death and all that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you know, no big mystery. And, you know, but usually an Ace of Spades in Saturn, if a death occurs, it's one that you, it's harder for you because it's your Saturn period, you know.
Right.
Like somebody that you're closer to or that.
Right.
But it's really hard to say, because that could mean other things too, you know.
Right.
I mean, there are actually good underlying cards. The Ace of Spades has an 8 of Spades under it, so.
Oh, that's good.
That's like a modifying factor, which makes it not so bad.
Okay.
Yeah. But I wouldn't be too concerned about it.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Is that helpful,
Jackie? Forward to my year.
Yeah.
And my new home.
I would. You'll find the right place. It'll pop up.
Yeah, it usually works for me that way.
Maybe God just
at the last hour. What?
It's probably better not to pick the home in Neptune anyway. I mean,
oh, okay, that's good to know. So I'll wait till after my birthday to really put it out there.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can look at some places, but in Neptune we can make mistakes because we're under kind of an illusion about stuff. So it's better to wait till after your birthday at this point.
Oh, all right, will do. Excellent advice. Okay.
Happy to give it to you.
Thank you. Well, I had a great time on Saturday. That was amazing. It was really helpful.
It was nice to have you there. It was a pleasure. And yeah, it was a fun class. We had a nice group.
It was. It was a really fun class. And yeah, it was great. They were just a group of nice group of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll miss you. But
thank you. And I'll be back.
Oh, okay.
I'll be back
good.
Up for sure.
Okay, great.
All right.
All right, thanks for calling tonight.
Thanks.
Good to hear from you.
Take care. Say hi to Desiree.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, that was interesting. I ate a club. You know, we talked on the class this week, and we talked about how to really get to know yourself and other people by studying their life spread cards. It was real. It was, I think, the first time I ever really taught this class, actually, that specific topic. And it was really great. It was went over really well. I think everybody really got a lot out of it. It wasn't just a big download of information, I think, which sometimes my class has become like a data download. And I really don't enjoy those as much because there's not as much interaction as I'd like to see in the classes. Okay, our next caller is calling from Tucson. His name is Michael, born October 2nd, 1948. Are you there, Michael?
Yes, I am. Good evening, Robert.
Good evening. So you're calling about a relationship. Is that true?
Yes.
And give me a little history.
Okay. I actually called you earlier this summer in June, and at that time I talked to you about a... I had been in a 6-year relationship with a Five of Diamonds woman, and you gave me some advice about diamonds and a jack of hearts. You often get involved with women that are very hard for, they're probably not that great for us. And you said something along the lines that a five of diamonds was totally different issues dealing with being a seven of diamonds myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you predicted, I had a five of diamonds long range card, you predicted that relationship end as you predicted. And I've, like, woman now. Her birthday is June 12th, 1947. Her name's Linda.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And she's a of diamonds.
Yes, I see that.
I'm kind of wondering what's... Robert?
So Linda's a new person you just met?
What is her birthday?
No, I'm saying, did you just meet her?
She came into town where I live. She lives in Oakland, very close to where you live. And she was in town for a week, and I spent 3 days with her, and there was sort of this instant clicking. It was in my Neptune period when I was working with the Queen of Spades card, which I thought was all about meditation and self-mastery, and working really day period. And then all of a sudden, she was a five of diamonds with a planetary ruling card of a Queen of Spades. And
yeah. Now that you've had a birthday, and you've had a couple of weeks to... How does it look any different to you now than it did before your birthday, the relationship with her?
I'm getting to know her through emails and phone conversations and things, and I'm much attracted to her. It's flowing very well. We have plans to meet around the Thanksgiving holidays.
Have you ever met in person yet or not?
Yes, we spent 3 days together, and there was...
Okay.
There was chemistry, you know, right away.
Well, you guys, you know, you share a past life, you know, connection from the get-go.
Do you think this would be a good connection between the two of us?
Well, yeah, it is. Now, wasn't the last one a five of diamonds, though?
She was an April 16th, an Aries birthday. Five of diamonds.
Yeah. So,
and
you know,
be there, but there was also a lot of, there was a lot of rejection going on there too. From her towards me.
Oh, interesting. Well, see, it varies, you know, from five of diamonds to five of diamonds. I mean, and every birthday is a little different too. So this woman being a Queen of Spades, that helps a lot because that brings a certain amount of solidity to her.
I definitely think she's very emotionally open and motherly like.
Yeah, there's that. That's the Queen thing, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very different from the other woman.
Well, you know, I look at your cards and she shows up in your Mars period with a Eight of Hearts, which is a very good card. So I don't see her showing up in any negative way for you this year at all.
And you think
this is your Two of Hearts year also for you. Your long-range card is a Two of Hearts, which you get every 7 years or so. Okay.
Right, definitely, yeah.
And so this is your big love year.
Big love here.
And there she is. So
there she is.
You don't need anything else.
You give your blessed relationship.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I do.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you. I was just curious why I was turning up five of diamonds.
Well, you have a strong, you must have an attraction to people that you have past life connections with, because that's two in a row that you have past life. Now, not all past life relationships are good ones. Sometimes the past life it didn't end well. Right. Sometimes we come back together to finish off stuff that was that really wasn't all that great at the time. You understand?
I do understand.
And sometimes, even though you have a past life connection with somebody, they may not be somebody that can actually really be in a relationship. You know, like they got issues. Some people really are not capable of actually sustaining a personal relationship because, like Five of Diamonds especially, a lot of them just have too strong a freedom. They sabotage their relationships, a lot of them, see? So this one is probably less like that because she's a Queen of Spades, which makes her more stable.
Definitely. As I get to know more about her, she definitely, you know, has been able to maintain a long-term relationships previous in her life.
So that's a positive thing right there, right from the get-go.
All right. I very much enjoyed your talk as the program started tonight, and thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Michael. I appreciate you being a listener, and it's good to hear that you have some positive changes. I'm glad for you. Sounds really nice.
All right. Good night.
Okay, well, have a great love year.
Thank you.
All right, take care. It's always nice to give people good news. I love that. You might think I like to give bad news, but I really don't. Our next caller is from Dallas, Texas. Her name's Elizabeth. A great name for a native diamond. She's born on February 17th, 19... Am I still here? February 17th, 1951. Is Elizabeth there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hi. So are you Paris Hilton Jr.?
Not today.
Well, how about tomorrow?
I never know. I may wake up that way tomorrow.
Because, you know, you're the same birthday as Paris Hilton.
Am I really?
Yes, you are.
I did not know that.
Okay, well, we just wanted to check. We just wanted to know, you know, inquiring minds are asking the question. So what's your question, Elizabeth?
Well, my question, Robert, is this. I have studied my Eight of Diamonds. My sister has studied your books and talked to you personally over the last probably 6 or 7 years. Kind of do a little reading every year. This year I'm having a very fated year. I'm 57. I'm 58, of course, in February. Had a lot of things happen. We moved from one part of Texas to Dallas, which we're very happy about. Our children are here, and the grandchildren are here. I'd just like to tell you this. I think this is kind of maybe fated also, but I remarried 10 years ago, and my husband is a King of Diamonds. All of his children are diamonds. All of his grandchildren are diamonds. All of my children are diamonds, and all of my grandchildren, we have all diamonds.
Well, it's nice that there's a king for the patriarch of the whole group.
And then my karma card is the Queen of Spades. But
you guys should all get together and make money.
I know. That is my question for you this evening. I am I'm sort of having this little mini meltdown tantrum because I'm changing careers. I left the education field. And I'm always reading about, you know, the Eight of Diamonds is in the crown line. And I think this year I'm going to move through the crown line of all the cards, through all of the cards. But I get the weirdest job hunts and job prospects. And I almost bought two houses this summer. I almost had two wonderful jobs. And I'm trying to understand why with my wonderful Eight of Diamonds I'm not doing any better. I feel very stuck.
Well, and is that just this year or is that all the time?
More so this year. I really can't say all of the time. I mean, you know, I've had to manifest this move to, you know, I've read my journal, so for probably the last 6 years I've been manifesting, and it did happen. A miraculous thing happened that my husband did get a job that put us into the Dallas Metroplex, which is wonderful. And so now I'm here, and I've been here like 5 months, and I'm like, okay, I'm ready for this to happen, and I'm standing
well,
there back.
What is it that you would like to see happen, Elizabeth? Tell me.
Well, this is what I'm told. This is what I think in my heart. The next career that I pursue, I want to get up in the morning and love what I do.
Okay. Yeah.
That being where I could use my gifts from teaching. Photography is a passion of mine. I like to do some home staging. I want to work around the real estate arena. I don't want to be a realtor of some sort. I want to work around the energy of it.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess it would be defined as an assistant in a real estate office or firm.
Well, I mean, you know, okay, so you're talking about staging homes for help them sell better and stuff like that?
Yes, Robert. In fact, I thought I had a wonderful opportunity about 2 months ago, and I didn't listen very well when I went to the group event. But it was, in fact, with staging. And then after the lady picked the candidate she wanted, I kind of missed the part where it was 100% commission, and I made 20, and she would make 80. So when I crunched the numbers, I would have to do like 43 jobs a month to make about $3,000.
She'd make 30,000 or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, I don't see why you can't do anything personally. I don't see anything stopping you. I think, like, you're displacing a Six of Spades this year, and sometimes the Six of Spades like that can make everything come to a standstill. Okay?
Yes. I have a friend that's a Six of Spades.
Yeah, I can do that. But usually that card showing up like that means you need to look deeper into what you're thinking about. See? You're not looking deep enough. Like, you're saying, you think you got to figure out what it is you want, but it may be something else that you haven't thought of recently. It may be different than you think. Maybe this doesn't have enough meaning to you, personally, you know? Because the Six of Spades is about, like, what's your mission here? What are you really here for? What are you here to give the planet? What are you here to do for the world? You know? You follow what I'm saying? Take it to a deeper level.
Can you help me formulate, like, what the wording would be to myself?
Well, what I would be doing is saying, God, tell me what it is you think I should be doing, what you want me to do, because I'm ready to do whatever it is. Just, you know, help me out here because I'm having a little trouble. Like, and, you know, be open. Say, I'm open to knowing what really means something to me. Okay?
Why?
What is really like if you, what would be the best gift that somebody could give you? And then, how would you give that gift to other people? See?
Why?
I remember once when one of my teachers was speaking to us in a group, you know, he said, give other people the thing that you want most. And I realized I wanted spiritual growth. So I began doing readings to help people grow spiritually, which helped me grow spiritually. That's an example. So what I'm thinking is you haven't actually found it yet.
Yes, that is true. I don't know.
Okay, so why don't you do this? Why don't you just let that go for now?
All right.
Okay. Just let it go for like 3 or 4 weeks. just be open to something coming through, a message. Okay?
All right. Yes, I'm right.
Let go of that idea a little bit. Give yourself a little room in your mind for something new to show up. And just be open and see what happens.
Okay.
Yeah. And because, you know, you do have strong indications by your birthday that something will show up for you.
Good. All right. Well, that's
right,
what
Liz.
I needed. Some new wording and phrasing. Thank you, Robert.
You're very welcome.
All
great
right.
Talking to you. Have
bye
a nice
bye.
Night. Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to take our break now. We do have Dee Dee waiting from Vancouver, but Dee Dee, we'll talk to you first after the break, and we have two lines open. On this break, we're going to listen to the song Krishna, and when we come back, we'll talk to Dee Dee from Vancouver. Be right back. Welcome back, everybody. That was Krishna Hare Krishna. That's actually a song I recorded about 5 years ago. But I really like that song. It was nice to hear it again. I hope you liked it, too. Okay, we have one caller online, too. We have Dee Dee from Vancouver, who's born November 9th, 1958. Are you there, Dee Dee?
I am here. Thank you. I'm a big fan. I'm real pleasure to talk with you. Just wondering, my birthday is coming up, and sort of a scope on what's going on for the year for me.
Okay, so you're in the Neptune period of your year right now. Are you aware of that?
I beg your pardon?
Are you aware that you're in the Neptune period of the year?
I'm in the Neptune period in the last, yes, I am, exactly.
Right. So this period of the year, you shouldn't really make any kind of decisions or, you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing to really know. There's nothing to really know about this period.
No.
Yeah.
The Neptune period is ending, though, so now it's going to end at my birthday, right? Then it starts into Mercury.
Yeah, we'll talk about your next year, all right?
Yeah, exactly.
Starting on your birthday. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Just wanted to clarify that. Don't make any big assumptions or any kind of thing about anything in the Neptune period, because things in Neptune are never as they quite appear. So this next year, are you single or married?
Single.
Single? Or do you have a boyfriend?
Yeah, I do see somebody, yeah. Very casual.
Very casual? Does that mean you can date other people?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Because you're displacing the Queen of Hearts this coming year, and that's a very powerful place to be. And you have four hearts in Venus, and I think you're going to have a lot more love in your life this year. Are you ready for that?
Yeah, I think so. I'll open up my schedule.
Yeah, see, you think you can handle it schedule-wise?
Probably.
Well, what if it was like three or four guys? Could you handle that?
Dating?
Yeah.
I don't think I would like that, but you never know, right? I'll never say never.
Yeah, I mean, because you have a Three of Hearts environment card, and that means at least two and maybe more.
Yeah. Well, I think if you're single, then this is the opportunity to actually date other people, you know, when you are single, so I'm up for it.
Okay, well, good. Because this looks like a love year for you. I mean, you are a relationship person. I'm amazed, you know, that I find a lot of Jack of Clubs Scorpios. I've actually met quite a few Jack of Clubs who have a two as a ruling card. And a few of them kind of give up on love at some point. I don't understand that. Why do they give up?
A few of them give up on relationships?
Yeah, they just give up. They stop having it.
No. I don't think so.
Oh, well, good. I'm just, you know, I was just saying, because I've seen this, and I was curious, maybe you would have the answer, like, why would they give up like that?
No, I'm still out there. Absolutely.
Oh, good.
But, and work-wise, career's been good the last couple of years. How's that looking forward?
Your career, let's see here, let's take a look. Hold on. Well, first of all, you should know that the real focus is going to be love. Okay?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm just telling you, I mean, that's going to be the career may be happening. I don't see any problems in your career at all, but it's not really going to be the focus for you this year. Okay? Your mind's not going to be on your career so much.
Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah.
Well, it is. I mean, career-wise, though, this could be an incredible year, because the year that you displace the Queen of Hearts, like you do this year, you move into what, to what we call the crown line as you go through the year, which is a place of more recognition and success. So these first three periods, you know, between your birthday and April 15th, really actually all the way through June 6th, should be spectacular.
Yeah, good. Sounds like fun.
If I were you, I would make a wish list, you know. You have a King of Spades in Mars. You have a King of Spades in Mars. I would make a wish list of everything that you would like to see happen this year. That's what I would do, because you won't have this kind of influence very often in your life. It's something to take advantage of.
That's a wonderful thing in my life.
Yeah, this is a wonderful influence. So you want to get the full advantage of it while it's there. So make a list.
Okay.
That's my suggestion.
Sounds
make
good.
A list.
Thank
and
you.
And you'll see. You'll be amazed how much of it actually comes true.
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing that you asked me
especially in your,
that,
especially
right?
in your Mars period. Your Mars period is February 22nd to April 15th. That should be really great.
Great. Okay, sounds like
fun. All right, Dee Dee. Glad I had some good news for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Well, I've been lucky tonight. I've had two people like I've given some great news to. I love that. Okay, well, we're going to take another break. Now we're going to listen to Rama Rama from Bhakti Rock. And if we have some callers, we're going to continue. Now, if we end early tonight, folks, it'll be okay with me. I've been up this morning since 3:30 this morning. I had to take a very early ride, and I'm kind of exhausted. So if we end early, a little early tonight, it'll be fine with me. But if you want to call in, now's your time. We'll be right back after Rama Rama. Welcome back, everybody. That was Rama Rama. And thank you, those of you who have been listening tonight. I am going to take, we're going to end the show early, and I'm going to get some much-needed rest. Hope all of you have a wonderful week this week. We're going to end our show, as always, with the Gayatri Mantra. I hope you enjoy it. Have a wonderful week, and be surrendered to what is, especially tomorrow on the election day. This is Robert Lee Camp saying good night.
Om Purva Swaha Tatsavitur Varinyam Bhargo Devasya Vimahi Deyo Yona Prachodaya. Tour.